Proverbs 19. Three Wednesdays ago, I was meditating, was in my morning devotion, and Sheila came to mind. As my custom, I wrote her name down on a piece of paper, and I continued with my devotion, and after my prayer, I picked up the phone and I called Sheila. And Joyce answered the phone. She said that she has been in the emergency room with Sheila for 2 days. She has just gotten to bed, and she's just in the room, and she has just gotten home. I caught her just in time. Said at that time Sheila didn't have a phone. We tried a couple times to connect with her, but she still didn't have a phone. And Saturday, my wife and I and granddaughter, we were in Tampa visiting with my daughter. And we connected with Joyce, who gave us the phone, Sheila's phone in her room. Called her, could hardly make out what she was saying. Talked for a while, and I said, "Sheila, is everything well with your soul?" And she said, "Yes, Pastor. It is well with me." She assured me that she was in the right place, spiritually. And then she said to me, at that time, she said, "As soon as I get out here, Pastor, I'm going to write something up because I want you to come and speak at my service." My wife got the phone and was talking with her, and she got a little shaky. She said, "Sheila, I am coming to see you." And we hung up the phone, and after that, my wife and I and the girls, we went to the mall. We were walking around the mall, and you know, as women do what they do at malls, I was in deep thought because I was somewhat in conflict. I was comfortable that Sheila was ready, but I had a sense that it was too soon. I was thinking. I was in deep thought while we were walking around the mall. I was in deep thought regarding the fact that there is so much that Sheila can do. Why now? And I started thinking about Proverbs 19:21. "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." I was wrestling with the idea, and I was contemplating the text, the passage. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Soon the fog began to dissipate, and I started understanding it. So much so, I sat on a bench in the park, in the mall. I took a piece of paper out of my pocket, and I outlined this message in the mall, because I felt strongly that Sheila had not long with us. And I was encouraged. I was encouraged by what I saw, by what I learned, by what I was reminded of. And it was settled. It was okay now. It was all right for her to let go. It was all right for her to go on home. But just a little side to the story. We called the airline at that moment, made a reservation for my wife to come up and see Sheila. The following, it was two Saturdays ago, that was come up last Friday to see her. I took my wife to the airport, dropped her off at the airport. On my way back from the airport, I got the call. Sheila had just expired. Just passed. The time, her time, had come for her to go home to be with her Lord. But I believe that there are many of you here this evening who have questions, concern. Good people shouldn't die so young. Why is it that people like Sheila dies and some of you here is still here? But you see, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Let me share with you what encouraged me, with the hope that it will give you clarity if you have confusion. It will encourage you if you are feeling discouraged. It will give you insight if you seem to be looking into a dark place. Let me see if I can share what I learned to help you this evening. Father, bless now your word to our hearts so that we may hear from you and that you will accomplish that which you desire to accomplish in the hearts and the lives of this people. That you will take the hour, the moment, the opportunity to encourage many, to bring many to yourself, to restore many, to lead many to salvation. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The subject, man plans, but God determines the outcome. Man plans, but God determines the outcome. And here is one thing I learned. I learned that God determines that our plans will
would serve His purpose. That your plans and my plans would serve His purpose. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. It is given to us to plan. It is for us to plan for the future. It is for us to make plans for tomorrow. It's what the Lord has granted us. But regardless of what our plans are, they only serve to advance God's purpose. Regardless of what our plans are, they only serve to advance God's purpose in our lives. Proverbs 16:1, to man belongs the planning of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply. It is for us to plan. Making plans for the future is a natural part of our freedom. God has invested us with the ability to plan and the freedom to decide and to make plans concerning the future. Striving for the future is normal and natural. A matter of fact, the man and the woman who does not plan is considered to be sluggards. But he who plans towards the future are considered industrious. So it is given to us to plan. But I want you to know that the freedom to plan, the freedom to plan for the future is within the scope, within the scope of time and space. That time, that space that God has allotted us, we can only plan within a limited scope because we are limited. Our decisions are governed by the phrase, if the Lord wills. The Apostle James, instilling some sobriety in those who think that they could go and come as they please, that tomorrow was theirs to travel, to do business, to invest, and to make money because they have the ability to do it on his own. James says, stop for a moment. You should ask yourself, if the Lord will, I will do this, or I will do that. For within the scope of space and time, we can only do so much. But I want you to know that whatever you do, whatever I do, whatever we do, it is within that scope wherein all that is done serve the purpose of God concerning us. Sheila knew that. She understood that. When Sheila's job, last job, not the one that she had, the one before this one, was moving upstate New York, they offered her the job. They invited her to come with the company.
Sheila declined to go with the company. She sat in my office and she said, "Pastor, I would go, but if I go upstate, I would be coming home 8 and 9 o'clock at night." And she said, "I cannot miss midweek prayer. I cannot miss midweek prayer." How many of you have ever made a decision, a major decision, based on your spiritual life? How many of you have ever made such a decision? Sheila knew. She knew that prayer was the lifeblood of the church. Coming together on a Wednesday evening with saints, with the brothers and sisters, breaking up into groups and sharing your concerns, praying for one another and praying for the church, was vital to the spiritual life of the church. A church that does not have an active prayer life, where the members of the church are involved in praying, is a spiritual corpse. It's a dying church. Sure, it may be growing numerically, but the life of the church, the spiritual quality of the church, is not good. Can't be good. Because its spiritual life, prayer, is being suffocated. So Sheila made a decision not to go with her job, because she understood the value of prayer. Those are the intricacy of Sheila that many of you don't know. The beauty of the person. Sheila sent out her resume. And she was invited by one company. They invited her to come for an interview. And she went on the interview and she came back. And she said, "Pastor, I love that place. I love the job. I love the interview. The people were nice. Pray that I would get the job." And I said, "I'll do no such thing." "I will pray, Sheila, that the will of the Lord be done." She didn't hear from that company. 2 days before she left their last job, the job was moving upstate, she got a call from the company that she is last in. She got a call. They invited her for an interview. They offered her the job on the spot. Sheila wasn't very impressed with the job. And but after a few weeks, I said, "Sheila, how are things doing?" And she said, "Pastor, I love it. The people are nice. I love my boss, my supervisor. They are cooperative. I just enjoy being there." Less than a year, being on that job, Sheila was diagnosed with cancer. She'd been out of work from that job since then. But that job stood with her. Stood with her. They worked things out with her. That Sheila was never in need financially. God designed it so that Sheila didn't have to worry about how her bills would be paid. Amen. God was waiting Shiva. So he made it so that things worked out for her. I say to you who think you know what you need to do for yourself, you don't need anybody and you don't need God, I hate to tell you that you're a fool. Every wise man seek Jesus. Every wise person knows that he or she needs God. Every person who has sense knows that he or she is accountable to God and must answer to him. And therefore they need to hear from him. Turns the way they are going. Any plan you make apart from the understanding of God's will for your life will in end cause you grief and pain. For the purpose of God is what will prevail. Number two, I learned that God determines our plans to accomplish his purpose for us. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the purpose of God that prevails. The boundaries of our decisions and plans are determined toward a set purpose. We more often than not do not understand. Every person in this place, seated here, the boundaries of your life are set. And every decision you make is within those boundaries. You can't exceed them. All our plans are predetermined, have predetermined consequences or benefits. This is not fatalism. This is not fatalism. This is not the idea that one cannot change the fate, F-A-T, of their lives. This is the principle, you reap what you sow. That's the principle. You reap what you sow. If you plant corn, don't look for peach up here. You will get corn. It is the same in the spiritual realm. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from the nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap life eternal. Sheila sowed to please the Spirit. When I came to this church, Sheila was about 11 or 12 years of age. I watched her as she matured spiritually. She grew, developed in the things of the Lord. Became an example to the believer in word and deed. Young people, many of you stood when you ask about whose lives, your lives, Sheila has touched. Many of you stood tonight
But have you taken her life as an example of good living, of what a young person can be or should be, or how a person should live in this world? But someone might ask me tonight, so what has Sheila reaped for having lived to please the Spirit? What has Sheila reaped for having lived to please the Spirit? I answer you, for one, she avoided much of the confusion, guilt, sorrow, misery, and frustration that those who live to please the flesh experience. Many of you young people here tonight who have stood, who said that she has touched your life, you have gone through a lot of misery, a lot of guilt, a lot of heartache, because you have not stood for Christ. You have not lived to please the Spirit. I want to know if Sheila has lived to enjoy the quality of a spiritual, pure spiritual life, a life of purity. She enjoyed the peace of God, which passes all understanding. She enjoyed something that many of you have never experienced. She knew the contentment that is in Jesus Christ. She gained something for walking in the Spirit. And finally, what has she gained? She has gained eternal life. Because now she has entered into her eternal reward. Never again the cancer should rock her body. No more of the treatments, the painful discomfort in treatment. No more of these sorrowful experiences. She is in a place where there will be no more sorrow. No more discomfort. Oh, she will never grieve and hurt again. And if you say to me, oh, but that is all true, but her death seems so unfortunate. Her death seems so unfortunate. I remind you that you are seeing things purely from the human perspective. I want you to know, if that's your thinking, I want you to know, you are seeing things as a man or as a woman from the human, the mundane perspective. That's where you are looking. You are not seeing the spiritual reality, where for Sheila to live was Christ and to die is gain. Whether she was still here or whether she's in glory, it is the same. She has gained eternal life. She has not lost anything. Her death is not an unfortunate thing. It is not a sorrowful thing. It is a beautiful thing. God has called home to glory. One of His choice servants. Come on home, Sheila. Be with me forever. That, my friend, is the wonderful thing about Sheila's experience. What she gave. Oh, listen to me. Many of you see this world as an end in itself. An end in itself. We are going to do business. We're going to go to college. We're going to get a good job. Going to do this, we're going to do that,
right.
We're going to make life, and we're going to enjoy the good life.
A few weeks ago, my wife and I and my granddaughter were sitting in the living room. We were watching some program on TV about history. My granddaughter said to us,
if the Lord wills, will you take me to China?
We're talking about a six-year-old.
If the Lord wills, will you take me to China? And I said, what? If the Lord wills? And she says, you guys say it all the time, so why can't I say it?
When I was leaving the house to go to the airport, I saw my neighbor across the street in Florida. I saw him and he said, what's happening? And I said, I'm going to a funeral. And he shouted back across the street and he said, oh, too bad. And I shouted back to him, I said, it's not too bad. We all must go this way sooner or later. We just have to be ready. And he shouted back to me and he said, I want to live longer than my father. He was 86. I want to live to 87.
And I thought of it. He never said, if the Lord wills.
But my granddaughter is right.
For if the Lord wills, she will go to junior high. And if the Lord wills, she will go to high school. And if the Lord wills, she will go to college. And if the Lord wills, she will get married. And if the Lord wills, she will have children. And if the Lord wills, she will make a lot of money to support her grandpa. And if the Lord wills, she will retire one day, rotten rich.
But whenever the Lord wills, she will die. Whenever the Lord wills, she will die. It could be before junior high. It could be before high school. It could be before college. It could be before her profession. It could be before she gets married. It could be before she gets old. If the Lord wills. I want you to know, my friend, Sheila knew that this world was a dressing room. With a dressing room. This is not the end, you see. We are living in a society where we put the emphasis on beauty and strength and acquiring. But this is a temporary place. This is a temporary place. You have to leave this place. But I must leave this place. How are we going to leave this place? I want to leave here like Sheila, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, faultless to stand there before his throne. That's how I want to go. How are you prepared to go, my friend? Are you still in your tattered, sinful rags? If the Lord wills that you die tonight, where will you spend eternity? Thirdly, I learned that God determines our plans so that the last word is His. He determines our plans so that He has the last word. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the last word is God's. Inherent in the idea that God's purpose is what prevails is the
the suggestion that the final word belongs to Him. Proverbs 16:9, in the heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Psalm 37:23, if the Lord delights in a person's way, He makes his steps firm. Though he stumbles, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Who is in charge? God is in charge. You see, my friend, God, in His wisdom, is the final determiner of the destiny of man. Each and every one of us. The whole world. He is the final determiner of each and every one of us' destiny. When and where and how we will die is God's. Stop being so arrogant about your life. About what you're going to do or where you're going to go. Stop being so arrogant about your own powers. You have none. You have none. Sooner or later, you'll lie on that bed if you are fortunate and you don't even have power to swallow. You don't have what you think you have. God has the last word. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you say to me, you know, we understand what you are saying, but why so young? And why at a time when there is, when she has so much to offer? Yeah, I was thinking that too. Thinking for a while, for a few minutes, I was thinking that God didn't have this one right. But I learned that some of God's most talented and gifted and faithful servants have been called home young and in the midst of their ministry. It is like God when to pull a fast one. When we think we have it all wrapped up, it is like God to say, no, you don't have it. You don't have it. Sheila is among the company of those whom God has sought fit to call home in the midst of great work. I want you to think of Maltby Babcock, a pastor and songwriter. He wrote the famous hymn, "This is my Father's Word." And to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's word. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hands, the wonders wrought. A man like this, if he lived to old age, can you imagine how much he could write and the repertoire of songs that he could have left behind? But when he was 42 years of age, pastor, songwriter, 42 years of age, his church gave him a gift, a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. He left there for this great pilgrimage with great excitement. and route to the Holy Land. In Naples, Italy, he contracted a severe bacterial disease and died in the International Hospital in Naples at only 42. At only 42. Did God know what he was doing? I want you to know that Sheila is among the company of the greats. Sheila has joined the company of those whom God has been pleased to call home in the midst of doing great things. I think of all the things that Sheila has done here and the things that she could yet do. Oh, I think of just one example, the finances. How when Sheila came and took over the books and sat with me and explained, you know, Pastor, we have too many things lumped together. It's not good bookkeeping. Let's separate them. Let's do this. Let's do that. And she applied her craft and separated the issues, the accounts, and developed the reporting of the account so that whenever, in the three times a year, when the report was presented to the church, any novice could understand it. Because Sheila had worked on making it simple. Oh, we think of Sheila's teaching. You didn't know she speaks at conferences too. You don't know all the things that Sheila did, but she was one of those servants, quiet but steady and faithful. And God chose to call her home at the time when he did. She is among those faithful ones. She's among those great ones. She's among those special ones. She's at the throne now, rejoicing around the throne of God. It's pleased the Lord, my friend. It has pleased the Lord to say to her, come on home, daughter. You're in the middle of your work, but that's all right. I'm going to take you home to be with me. I was meditating on the whole idea of Sheila coming home, going home, and a little thought in Hebrews 11, that chapter of the heroes of faith came to mind concerning those who died in various circumstances at various times and various age. And the one little thought that came to my mind was this: the world was not worthy of them. And I said to myself, was Easton worthy of Sheila? Was Easton worthy of Sheila? Is she worthy of what she was capable of? Is Easton worthy of appreciating her gifts and her talents and her abilities? Was Easton worthy in providing for her the opportunities and the platform to soar like a bird? Or was things so heavy that she would rather go home than continue here? Hear me, my friend. Whatever the Lord has done is well done. Sheila is home now. You who are concerned, you who have questions, I want you to know that everything Sheila did in her life enhances God's plan for her life. I want you to know that God's plans for her was fulfilled in her. God's purposes was fulfilled. And I want you to know that God's ultimate purpose in Sheila is complete. She is with him now. Now you must go on. Now you must go from here. You must go from here. It's all well and good to say, oh, we missed her so. We missed her so. We love her. She was such a great person. But if you miss the fact that her love for the Lord was the greatest love in her life, and that her commitment to him was the greatest desire of her heart, then you miss everything. Because one thing she would want for each and every one of you sitting here tonight to know is that Jesus Christ saves sinners. He wants you to know. He wants you to know. She wants you to know, my friend, that your life is within the will of God, so that whatever you are doing will serve to enhance God's plan in your life. Because outside of Christ, your plans are yet enhancing your purposes. Your plans are yet enhancing God's purpose, but that is to send you to a Christless eternity. So, whatever the decision you make here tonight will determine, is God's plans being fulfilled? Purpose being fulfilled in my life to bring me into his eternal reward? Or is his plan being fulfilled in my life to send me to a Christless eternity? The decision is yours. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and contemplate that tonight. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Every head bow. On the balcony and down here, I want you to bow your heads and you contemplate this one thought. You are planning, my friend. You are planning towards your life. You are planning towards future. Some of you are planning to get married. Some of you are planning to graduate. You are planning all sorts of